So we've reached the next week, and for this whole week we have one meditation plus the homily, and in this week we contemplate the resurrection, and it's also a week that should just send us back to the world. In a certain way, it is like the pumping out of the heart. So for the meditation, I invite you to, well, the fruit that we want to get from this week is just to experience that joy of the resurrection, to experience that novelty of life that He is offering to us in His resurrection. Now, for the meditation, I invite you that we contemplate the Gospel of St. Luke in that passage of Emmaus, a very known passage. It's in Luke 23, if I'm not mistaken. No, it's not in Luke 23, it's further away. It's 24:13. Now that very day, two of them were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. So let's stop here. It says that very day. What do they mean with that very day? It's like the day after the crucifixion, the day after Jesus' death. And they're going away. So, if you remember what we saw about not just Adam and Eve, but about the whole humanity after the original fall, maybe you remember, maybe you remember how this was paradise, and then the gate of paradise was closed behind Adam and Eve, and they started their going away from paradise, which is not just going away from paradise, but it's going away from God. So they're going away from God, and then things get worse. So they go further and further away, then there is this reset button with Noah, and then they keep on going further and further away. Of course, there are moments with the prophets and with the judges where Israel just sees that they're just getting hit very hard by their enemies, so they turn to God, and this turning to God is a turning to God, but just for a little while, because the normal tendency is going in that direction. And it's exactly the same dynamic when I told you that the Bible was the book of God's victory and the failure of men. You remember when I said that? And I said that if the fall of man starts here, we just start going away like pages, like Adam and Eve and their descendants just running away from God, and God just trying to catch up. And then he catches up in Jesus Christ, and then it stops, and that's why we have this book of the Bible. So this is what is going on. So they're going further and further away. And then we heard that something stopped. I mean, something happened here. And the tendency reverted. So I don't know if you remember when you were maybe in high school and you studied calculus, differential calculus. Well, just a quick reminder. So in differential calculus, what we are really calculating is, we have a function that looks like this, whatever, and we're always trying to calculate the tangent, so that line that touches one point of this function. And so by calculating where the tangent touches, we know the tendency of the curve. So we can actually analyze the curve. Now,
There are very interesting and important points in calculus, because sometimes where the line, when the tangent is here, and it's like horizontal, it's the tangent equals zero. And of course, if it's like this, it equals infinite. No, but let's just focus on zero. This zero is like the valley between two mountains. And that's what they call in calculus a critical point. Critical comes from crisis. Crisis comes from critical. And actually, the moment of the crucifixion is a critical point. It's a point where actually everything comes to zero in the cross. That's the critical point. Now, for the mathematicians, critical points are very important, especially, and also for economists, critical points are very important because you don't know what's going to happen after the critical point. There's always a doubt because there are two possibilities in a critical point. So suppose that this is the critical point, this here. The two possibilities are, one, the curve is going up again, or two, the curve is going down. So the future is, it's getting worse after a critical point, or the future is, okay, this is our low point, now we're going back. Now, in the case of the history of salvation, there was a critical point, and it was in the cross, and then the humanity started going back. So this is the critical point. Here is when it equals zero, if you put it like this, here. This is the crucifixion, this is the resurrection, this is the Paschal mystery, the Easter Triduum, right here. Now, why am I saying this? Because if you're an economist, you want to know what factors you put on the critical point so that it goes back up. If you're in the Great Depression, it's like, what do we do so that the economy starts going up? So you put factors, and if you put the right factors, the economy is going to go back up. But if you put the wrong factors, it's just going to get worse. So what happened here? What was the wonderful thing that happened here? That humanity, boom, reacted, and now it's going back to the origin. What happened? And Jesus tells you what happened in the gospel when he says, it is good for you that I go. It is good for you that you won't see me again. Because if I don't go, I won't send the Holy Spirit. So the factor that Jesus put here was the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit enters in our hearts and we want to go back. And we had already done that meditation. It's the meditation about the confession. First of all, he shows us our sins. Then he helps us to feel sorry about our sins. And then he gives us this faith and hope to go to confession, so to go towards Christ, because we see his mercy and we see that he wants to forgive us. And that's what is happening here in between his death and his resurrection. Now, this account of Emmaus is a synthesis. They're putting together the whole history of salvation. And in a certain way, these two disciples are going away, are Adam and Eve and all his descendants going away from Jerusalem, like going away from paradise, going away from the love of God, going away from his mercy. Jesus Christ just gave the life for us. And then they say, I'm going back to my town. It's like, but here's where the show is going on. No, I mean, it's obviously a defeat. Let's go back to our town. So I'm gonna read again. I just lost the page. Just be a little patient with me. so it was Luke 24. Here. So now that very day, two of them were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. So just imagine Jesus. They're walking away from Jerusalem. And Jesus is going behind them, trying to get them, trying to reach them. Like, here he goes, just like God, going after the humanity that is going further and further away, trying to catch up, trying to give them that message of mercy. Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. God always walking with us. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. We just don't see that God is with us. It's all about what we see. There's no supernatural reality. It's all about war. It's all about money. It's all about sex. It's all about everything else. Where's God? I don't see God. It's just us, right? There's no one else here in the room. And that's humanity just walking away. And then, of course, there comes moments of crisis where, oh, no, this is terrible. And then from I don't know where, because I'm atheist, I don't know where, I say, God, help me. Or why are you doing this to us? It's like, who are you talking to? But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing as you walk along? They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days? And he replied to them, what sort of things? It's like, let's think about it. Let's talk about it. They said to him, the things that happened to Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, how our children, priests, and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. So something terrible happened. A good man was killed. A good man, not God. A good man was killed. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Our hopes were that he was the Messiah, but since he died, he was definitely not the Messiah. And beside all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. And it's like, right now, if I were there, it's like, and if he's alive and he's not in that grave, what are you doing here sad going back home? Then some of those with us went to the tomb because they had not yet the Holy Spirit. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. So now Jesus Christ really gets angry and says, and he said to them, oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them and what to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. And it's like they're enthusiastic, they're very happy. Till now they're Protestants because they rely only on the scriptures. And they're really hearing just what Jesus is saying. Oh yeah, that's great. That's great. But they don't go deeper. Oh, that's great, yeah. So as they approached the village which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on further. But they urged him, stay with us, for it's nearly evening and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at the table, he broke the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. So by the breaking of the bread, they recognize him. It's like, yes, Jesus is in the scriptures, but Jesus is in the Mass. And actually, I said that to one of you, I believe that the scriptures, from all the interpretations of the scriptures that you could have, the best interpretation is to interpret the scriptures from the Mass, starting from the Mass, because all the scriptures are pointing at that, because the Mass is the Eucharist, and the Eucharist is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Scripture speaks about Jesus Christ. So it's like, oh, now by watching how he breaks the bread, we understand what the scriptures are all about. But it's not just an explanation. Jesus had already given them explanation about the scriptures when they were on the way. This is an encounter with Christ. This is the experience, not just that Jesus Christ is alive, but that he loves me, that he matters. And not just that he matters, but he is the center of it all. That's a real encounter with Christ. And you know, Reum Christi and the Catholic Church and every single thing that we do is to propitiate the encounter with Christ. Because the only critical thing for every soul is their encounter with Christ. We cannot force the encounter with Christ. No one. Not on your husband, not on your kids, not on no one else. That comes when it has to come. But what we can do is to prepare it. So like okay, we don't know how you're going to encounter Jesus Christ in a triduum. Like Mary and Lisa didn't know that. But they say, well, let's prepare this. Let's make it everything nice. Let's just put the setup. Let's just call the retreat center. Let's just make sure that there's going to be dinner and there's going to be lunch and everything. And that's apostolate. That's as far as we can go, because the encounter with Christ, a personal experience with the Lord, I'm sorry, we cannot. We cannot, because we cannot force anybody's heart. We don't know what's going on in your heart. I mean, not even God forces the heart. We're just preparing the road. So the scriptures are preparing the road, but the encounter with Christ happens in the breaking of the bread. And then it happens, the three things of the Holy Spirit that I told you about, with that their eyes were open and they recognized him. Because I told you, the Holy Spirit is the spotlight that is always pointing to Jesus. So the spotlight was off. So you just saw the stage, kind of dark. Or it was with light, but all the characters seemed equally important. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit turns on the spotlight, and boom, that's Jesus Christ. That's the Messiah. That's the one you want to think about. That's the one you want to see. It's like, whoa, it's him. And they were in Emmaus, and they said, whoa, it's him. And then he disappeared. With that, their eyes were open, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us? Which is a nice thing to say, because in this moment they recognized how present he was along the way. Even if they were going further and further away from him, they recognized that he was there. And that happens also with our lives. We look at our past, and even though there are so many things in our past that we're not proud about, we look at our past and we say, well, but he was always with me. And we didn't know that, but there was a moment when the Holy Spirit just turns on and it's like, he was always with me. And I also said that to some of you, we have to love our donkey.
We have to love our past. It's a donkey that, you know, walks with a limp and doesn't have hair anymore in this side. It's like, but it's my donkey. You just have just to pet your donkey. It's your past. And so then it happens. They turn around and they're going back. Now,
the distance that they're saying that Emmaus is 7 miles. I know, because I've seen that before, 7 miles is the equivalent of 11 kilometers. Now, when we were novices in Germany, we had a hike every other week. So one Thursday was work day, so we were cleaning the center and sometimes working in different things. It was work the whole day, but one Thursday was hike around the novitiate. It's a very beautiful place in the forest. It's more or less the area where Belgium, Holland, and Germany touch. The Ardennes, the Battle of the Bulge. So that kind of area, and so some novices who were a little bit crazier than others, their thought was, how far can I go? It's like, or like, not just enjoying, but just pushing you to the limit. And I just let myself get involved by another, like one novice that thought like that. And I did it once and I didn't do it again. So this brother said, we have to go to the radio telescope, which is the second biggest radio telescope in the world, is very close to that novitiate, exactly 11 kilometers away from our novitiate, which is this 7 miles. It's the same distance to Emmaus. And I remember, because we had to be back at a certain time because we had Latin class or something like that afterwards, and we had to be punctual. So I remember that we went there, and it was kind of like jogging most of the time. And then we had our sandwiches. It's like, now we're going to sit down and eat our sandwiches. And then this brother says, no, we don't have time to sit down. We have to eat our sandwiches while we're running back. It's like, okay, so we're running back and eating our sandwiches. Well, to make it on time, because it's 14 miles, no? 7 and 7. And we thought that we had a lot of time for hiking, but when you do that distances, you realize that you don't have enough time for hiking. And so we made it. But I think of these two characters, Clopas and the other one, and it was already late. So when they reached Emmaus, the sun was already coming down. So when they said, and it was 7 miles, and then they say, let's go back to Jerusalem. What, now? Like in the dark? Yes, let's run back to Jerusalem. So what kind of an encounter, what kind of an experience did they have that they just didn't care that it was dark? They didn't care that it was 7 miles away. They were just going to run back to Jerusalem. And by the way, fast forward, when they came back to Jerusalem, they said, we saw the Lord. And then the other said, yeah, we too. I mean, he was here and he appeared to... It's like, oh no, all this running to give you news and you already knew about it. So it was like so much to do and with so much joy. And the point here is that this going back, where they were so excited because they were going back to the house of the Father. You know, it's the way back to the house of the Father. And then after an encounter with Jesus, it's a great joy. So with this, you close the circle. And this was what it was all about. So, and I really invite you to do this experience in this meditation. It's like, I'm so happy because I'm, from now on, my life is just going back to the Father. I'm running back to the Father because I've made this experience of Christ, because he sent the Holy Spirit, because I made an experience of his mercy. And now I'm going back. And that is precisely the experience of the resurrection. Jesus Christ is alive. Because I'm going to tell you a secret. It's not you that are going back to the house of the Father, but it's you with Jesus that are going back to the house of the Father. Because, you know, the one who descended is the one who ascended. It's always the descension and ascension. Someone asked me, can you explain better what's how that about ascending and descending? Well, this is it. Jesus comes to our depression, so to say. He walks all the way with us of our sadness and difficulties until we come to a point of a crisis. I'm in a crisis. This is the cross. I'm in a crisis. And he takes us in the point of the crisis and he shows us that that crisis was not yours. It was his. He took it upon himself because he loves you. And you make that experience. It's like, he is true. He is real. He loves me. He is my friend. And then, you know, let's walk up. So the eagle came, took its prey, which is these two disciples, and went back up. And it's the prologue of the Gospel of John, no? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and from his fullness we received grace after grace. This is our Christian reality. That's what we believe. And it's the most beautiful belief that there is. This is our God. It's the best God that you can have. It's just amazing that God was made a man. It's like, and he came to rescue us. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's just so wonderful. I leave you so with these thoughts, and then we see each other at the Mass.